Hello, dear listeners. Joel here from the recording studio. This is another vlogging podcast, so which means if you want to see this podcast in pictures, then go along to my YouTube channel and you can watch the full podcast YouTube video there with pictures included. And you'll be able to find the link in the show notes below for the YouTube video and other stuff going on. So this is vlogcast number 2021. This is the March episode, and I thank you for listening, or I thank you for watching, and I hope you enjoy it. Let's get on with the podcast. So first of all, I need to apologise for the very late delay in the last video, or last month's blogging video, which came out mid-month, most likely, maybe a little bit later. That's mainly because I'm a perfectionist and I'm using basic video editing software, which restricts me somewhat, so I have to jump some hurdles to get stuff done that I want it to look like, and it all takes time, and I've kind of learned a few lessons along the way, and it's not going to happen. So this month I'm not going to do a top 10, but I'm going to do a top 5, and it's going to be a short top 5. This month's top 5 is actually going to be top 5 games I've played on Board Game Arena only, and I really like. So let's see what those are. I mean, they are just going to be brief descriptions of those. This month I've taken in a few games, new games that come through the door, and mainly Kickstarters, but one pre-order. That pre-order being the Red Rising up in the background by Stonemaier Games. You can check out my unboxing video, which is online already, which you can see how cool the components are with it. I also got Marvel United, which I've done unboxing videos for, haven't put it up yet, and I've already actually started painting the figures. So hopefully you might see some results of my painting sometime in the future. Kind of a little bit hooked on that at the minute. And actually, boy, is looking forward to painting those too. I received Cryptex from Inside the Box through the post. I didn't back the whole lot. I just backed it for like a postcard scenario set. It's a escape room kind of puzzle game. It looks quite cool. I don't know why I didn't go for the whole lot. Maybe I had a lot going on at the time, but I received the postcard shipment through, which is quite cool. And then also I got Venice through, which is over there. Venice through from Braincrack Games. This is the Kickstarter version. You can also see the unboxing video of that online too, so check that out. Along with the exciting new game arrivals, I've been receiving some updates from previous Kickstarters, which is actually a kind of sad news in a way, but I'm also very surprised it's not happened sooner, and that's the fact that COVID is now taking its toll on some board gaming companies, mainly ones in Europe based, that are in countries that are in lockdown, like Atypia Games, who are based in Greece. They've been in lockdown for many, many months, and they're struggling to play test, so they've not been able to fully play test the games that they've the expansions they've promised to put on there. They've actually said for Rush MD that they're going to send out the expansion they promised, and the add-on ones, which was like a dental and maternity ward expansion, they're going to hold back until they can get it fully play tested and then send it to us backers then at their own expense. Also, FungeForge sent a update about their Forgotten Kingdoms expansion, which is not Forgotten, that's already been out, African Empires, which is the expansion to Monumental, and it's going to be delayed by about 6 months, I do believe, because, well, I mean, France is in a lockdown. They just come out and now they're going back into another one, which is a shame. So hopefully. And then it's not only just them being in lockdown, it's also like factories they use and produce it are having staffing issues, be it sickness or COVID-related quarantining or things like that. So there's this little bit of a snowball building up, and I think this might not be the full effect we're having. But then again, other Kickstarters are getting done very good and they're still coming through. Like at the minute, I've got two, literally, I think are in the post, on the way to me. I've got Canvas, can't wait to get that, and I've got
Tiny Epic Pirates,
which I've received saying they're going to ship soon, so I'm hoping it's on its way to two Kickstarters I am very much looking forward to. And the other good news is I got update that my table is probably being made as we speak now, and they've said they've delivered all the Kickstarter number one tables, bar a couple, and now working on number two tables and the wing tables and the people that upgraded to the wing table, which is me. So hopefully now they're working on my table, and I'm hoping to expect delivery around about April-ish time. So end of April this time, I should say. So that's exciting. So that's Geek and Son putting the update up this week and getting my hopes alive, hopefully, that maybe end of this month I might have a proper gaming table, because I really do need it. This month I've actually released the unboxing video for Red Rising and Venice. I've got Marvel in the can and just needs to be finished up. Shouldn't be too long. I've also got a review of Forgotten Waters going on, which I really need to get around to finishing. Now I'm on holiday for a couple of weeks. I hope I can get that sorted as too. And also plan to do a review on King's Dilemma up in the top there. So hopefully those will be all out this month, and sorted for maybe some more. Don't hold me to that. What have I been playing this week? Well, actually, March is my birthday month, right at the beginning of the month, and I actually had a sit-down play of Quacks a Quimblebird with the Witch's Brew expansion, and I actually played it with Claire, my wife, and my friend Lewis and his boy over the internet, which was actually great fun. It took most of the afternoon, but it was a great thing because he's got a copy, I've got a copy, and it was just a case of I give him the setup, he copied it, and then we just kind of drew and had a good laugh like that. So it was a great birthday treat of being locked in the house but still being able to play board games with my friends. Not only that, we actually, the week later, we actually all met up again, me and my party, and we finished off King's Dilemma. So I'm glad that's now finished. That's another one ticked off, and hopefully I can get my review out and tell you my full thoughts on it later on. Still playing my city. It's really slowing up, but hopefully the holidays here might hopefully convince the kids to play a few more games and get this going. We've got probably two and a bit chapters left to do, so hopefully I can get that finished very soon. Played Rococo again with a wife, and we played it with this time with the AI, and the AI, wow, that dominates, but it also done what I hoped it would do and get in the way. Now I might need to tame down the AI, because she doubled our score, more or less. I believe she scored as much as me and Claire did in both our turns. It seems way overpowered, and I hate to think what it's like in solo play, but maybe I need to give it a go and have a look. But it is difficult. So I did enjoy the fact that she was there and it was getting in the way and it was developing the game, and we were having to kind of counter it, but it dominates that AI. Maybe I have to re-tinker it a bit to make it not so powerful next time. As I got my Kickstarters through, I've actually done very well this month. All the games I've got through the door, apart from that Crypt X, which is going to be kind of a solo mystery thing. I'm going to sit there over like twiddling my thumbs and saying, I'll just look at this quiz and see what's going on. But I played them all. Marvel's Unite came through door, been playing that with a boy, and I played it solo. He's enjoying it. He really wants to paint the figures, so I've set up now painting figures, which is another added thing I've got to do with my time. But the figures are really nice to paint because they're this chibi effect, and they're quite big and boldish and roundish. This is an easy figure. The kit, there's not too much complexity to it. So he actually wants to paint Miles Morales first. So I've got the core set and the Spider-Man set going on at the minute. Note to that as well. Heard this week from Simon Games that the Marvel United expansions, bar the Spider-Man one, will not be released into retail. You will be, however, be able to collect and pick up all the expansions and the promos when the new Kickstarter hits, I think this month actually. It's the Marvel's United X-Men series. So if you missed out on the Marvel's United first time, you'll be able to pick it up again. They did say it's going to cost more than the original, because they want to support the people that first backed it and put it in the promo, which I kind of agree with. And then you can also pick up the X-Men. So I'm actually looking forward to it. And there's been news that they've actually developed the gameplay, and they've done a lot more, making it a little... So in the card selection, in the cards you get for each character, there's about 12 cards. Three of them are special power cards for each character. They have their own kind of special ability text. Now in the X-Men version, they're going to bring in it's going to have four powers, so they've kind of upped the ante a little bit on that, hopefully. And then they're bringing in some new kind of game modes and game setups, and the villains are going to be a bit more stronger, so they're really notching up this one. I'm actually looking forward to it. I grew up on X-Men, reading all the X-Men comics when I was a kid, more than just the standard Marvel. So this is really my ballpark, and I really hope they bring in Gambit, most likely, and this character called Maggot. It was a great kind of cameo character that came out in a weird era. But I kind of hoping he'd be in there, because I think that'd just be hilarious. But anyway, there's lots and lots of characters in the X-Men universe, and I'm really looking for the new Kickstarter to come out. I played Red Rising solo at the minute, and I beat it on standard mode, even though I didn't know what I was doing. I quite liked how it was working, but I do have a concern. When I'm playing with this with more people, there's going to be a bit of AP, because there's a lot of text on these cards, and there's a lot of things to try and balance and say and do with it that I feel could really stumble people over when they come to play. So I don't know whether this will survive the collection, because there's a few little things I'm just not too thrilled about in it. The components are wonderful. I don't know about the gameplay, but let's see. I'm going to give it a go with the wife and see what happens. And then also, I played Dive, which is a review copy sent to me by Sit Down Games. It didn't work with my family. I've sent it to my co-host, Lewis, because he now lives in Surrey, so I've sent it to him, and he's taken a look at it, and he's faring a bit better, because he's got younger kids, he's faring a bit better with it, so hopefully we might have a review on that later on. Dive is actually quite a cool aspect of the game, where it's a big, thick, like, how many sheets was it? Something like 50-odd clear plastic sheets with detail right in it. It looks like... Now, I'm showing my age here. When I was in school, we used to have overhead projectors, and we used to have solid state sheets, where the teacher would put these sheets on this screen, and it will reflect up through the screen onto a board on there. And they kind of look like that, but a bit thicker. But they've got drawings of fish in the sea, and monsters, and seaweed, and things like that. And what you're trying to do is look through all these sheets, like down on top, and trying to predict, like, the next five sheets, whether they're going to have sharks on it, or these turtles, or things like this, to help you get down deeper. And the more you can guess right, the deeper you go. So it was quite a cool idea that I thought I might like, but it didn't kind of work with the family. But let's see what Lewis comes up with later on. And that's, apart from lots and lots of gaming on Board Game Arena, that's basically it, really. And my Warzone. I love my Warzone. Anyway.
Hey guys, welcome to another part of my my collection display, what's on my shelf. And this week I'm going to look over the next part of my Kanak shelves. But first of all, just want to go through some other bits and pieces of basically games that are scattered around my house. And I'm slowly discovering, because we're on the verge of moving house, and as we're tidying things up and packing stuff away, I'm like, holy crap, there's more games here, and there's games tucked in here. So first off, I've got a Crokinole board. This is actually just quite a cheap board, actually. I got at a reduced price when I went to a UK Games Expo. Still works well. I love it. I love Crokinole. Superb, easy game to bring out for people to play who don't play games. Then I got Bonk, which I basically got free from going to Essen in 2017 or 16, because they basically said if you walked around with this kind of sticker transfer on your head for 48 hours with the word bonk on your head, you get this game free, which me and my friends did. And yes, it's a good game, but then I'll probably never do anything like that again, because it pretty much ruined my experience in some kind of way. And then we got down here, we got Clask. This is a great game from the same people as Bonk. And this is a great game. Finally was able to buy it over from Europe and had it delivered, and it was an instant hit when I brought it to Gamelight. And then in here, this is what I call my kids' kind of collection, because this is all the kids' games. Some of these are getting quite old. Probably out of the age range. They actually still do get some of these out and play them. Ice Cool, very good game. We got Roller Coaster Challenge. It's not really a board game, but it's basically a puzzle-ish game of building a roller coaster with this marble cart that goes down. You've got to build it correctly and make it work. It's really good fun, actually. I quite like it. And then in here, we got a drawer full of our other games. So in this drawer here, this is some more games of the kids that have developed over the year. Click Clack Lumberjack is a great game from a great another dexterity game. Dancing Egg is hilarious. A box is falling apart. That's how old it is. And this here is my very first Kickstarter game. My first back in. The first one I got through the post. I bought it for the kids because it looks fun, easy to play, and it is actually quite a good game. I would still play this now. I would probably never get rid of it because of the sentiment value of it. The company doesn't exist anymore. I think Portal Games owns the rights to the game and they rebought it out, but that's my copy. And then we've got some Hey Fish. Hey, That's My Fish. Timeline is a great game that the family love playing. With grandparents and things like that. So yeah, so that's the kids section. Okay, so we're going to go starting off section by section there. It's just Captain America from, a Disney computer game for Xbox 360. I kind of think that was a kind of like you plonk them on a stand and they come up in the game and things like that, and it's all collectible. And I've got a lot of the Marvel stuff. He's just one that's sat there in the corner for some reason. Don't know why. Anyway, so starting off, Formula D and a couple of expansions in here. Oh my goodness, that's falling apart. It doesn't come out a lot. So I've got the Austin track, and I've got Baltimore and Dubai. And then you've got Nevada, Austin and Nevada. I think I've got Austin one, because it's built on the, I think I've got the Austin track because it's built on the actual Austin race circuit that's in the Grand Prix, which actually is one of my favourite tracks. But anyway, so Formula D, a great game, one that's never going to leave. I don't know why. Recently got this in a trade. I think it's a great simple game. It can be really nasty, and I kind of like nasty games like that, where you're kind of getting into people's faces and things like that. Wits and Wagers is a homestead game. I actually get this out quite a lot with my students at like end of term, and we have a quick game of that. And I use my subject as the questions. Basically, I develop this into that, and it's actually quite good still with the family. Oh, Captain America's again. Yeah. Right, so this section is got two. So you've got two of my games that are in the top 10 worker placement games that I just released. I mean, I love Above and Below because of its story aspect. It's actually a simple story, and it's got worker placement in it. It's really quite clever. And then Automator is actually really fun and brings you in it. Guilds is a new acquisition I got last year from a mystery box. Actually surprisingly really good. And I can't wait actually to play it with more people when we open up a bit more. But yeah, I want to try this with more people and see how well it lives up to it. But it's actually a really good game. I was actually genuinely surprised by it. Dream Home and the expansion. I keep them. I could put them all in as one, but like the inserts are actually quite good. So it's quite good to keep it like that. But I quite like it for its simplicity, and the kids and the family like playing it too. And in here. So I've got Blood Rage in here, and this has got all the expansions in it, and extra, and then we've got the new Kickstarter Blood Rage. So I've got all the add-ons to it, plus I've got the mat in here. I haven't got it out to play because I'm not in the right setting, but yeah, I really look forward to being able to get this out again when we come to open up the UK again, and we can go out and play in groups. Forgotten Cities is actually a review copy, and I played it to play, and it was okay. I feel it will actually work better with more people, and then again, I've been waiting to open up to so I can get it played with more people than just two and see how well it plays. And then Horrified just made it into my collection just recently. Played it, loved it, great game. Look forward to seeing some expansions coming out with it. And then in here, we've got my last shelf is my basically legendary Marvel shelf, apart from Pandemic Legacy Season 1. This is the one I've started. I've got to about June or July in it. And yeah, all the other players lost interest in playing. So hopefully the wife has agreed to play this from the start again. I just need to get a new box, and then I'll probably finish this off maybe on my own, maybe with other people, I don't know. But yeah, so I've got most of the collection here in Legendary. I think I stopped at Revolutions. Is it Revolutions or something like that? It's like a fairly biggish box that came out. Not fairly, it's fairly bigger than normal small box expansion that came out. It's really weird. But it's just got unwieldy, and there's so many expansions that keep coming out that I'm not playing it, and I can't keep up with it. But now I'm into this kind of, into this where it's so big, I can't sell it. I wouldn't be able to sell it. I'd get the money back. So I still love it. I think it's a great deck building game, but it's one that might just sit there for a bit until I get it out and have some solo runs on it or play with friends or things like that. So so yeah, and I've also got like a mat from Play to, there's a organized play event. I've got, this is actually a dice tower that I got from my Essen trip. It was being sold by the Taiwan Board Game Company for like £2. And we were like, okay, yeah, we'll take those off your hands. And then I've got a couple of exit games. This one we've done, actually. And then I've got another one at the back, hidden away. It needs to be played, really. Here, Forbidden Castle. So that's what's on this part of the shelf.
What's in the news? So in the news, there's been a bit rampant with some stuff. I'm going to bring up Great Western Trail again, but not because of the game, but because of the company that owns it. Plan B Games is being brought out by Asmodee. The company is back on this track of buying up companies. So they brought up Asmodee, they brought up Fantasia Games, which is the only game, I think, is Endless Winter, which was on Kickstarter last year. So they put up Thundergriff Games, which has the cartographers. Tabletop Tycoon, which is like a kilometre of lots of board game companies, like Starling Games, Flying Meeple, Spark World, Poly Hero Dice. So yeah, they were big. Oh, and Victory Point Games, I didn't realise I actually owned them. But anyway, so they've brought up quite a few games, and there's actually a few more that I haven't mentioned in here. So they're on this track of picking up more games from more companies by the looks of it. And really, they've not really affected like games coming out from other companies. Those are still going, so hopefully this doesn't affect what Plan B do with the new Great Western Trail series. Clank in Space is getting a new expansion, which is called Clank in Space Adventures, the Pulse Arcade, which is a split, which basically here, like Lord Atticus has got a vintage arcade, a collection of vintage arcade cabinets, that you're now trying to get into. There's 6 new modules to this expansion. Each one has their own rules, provides a brand new way of stealing artifacts. Players can ransack the vault, then spend loot in the black market. They can also research new science, clone themselves, or enter high-stake races, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of things going in. This kind of expansion, what I've seen of it, really makes me wish I never got rid of the original, got rid of Clank in Space, but one had to give. And I do prefer the original over Clank in Space. That's quite cool. And there's a new expansion to Res Arcana coming out, which I can't remember the name of, which I really am enjoying on Board Game Arena. And I actually kind of look forward to playing it actually physically when we get into real life again. So, and that's it. There's probably more news that I can't even think of. I've trolled it, but...
Hello everyone, Joel here. I am just jumping into... I'm in the middle of editing this video now. And I realised there was a really key, important piece of news that I forgot to mention. And this news came out mid-month, March, and it got me quite excited because it's one of my favourite kind of family games I like to play with the family. And it's the announcement that they are making a second edition of Takenoko. So Takenoko is a game with the panda and the gardener, and you're trying to grow bamboo. You're trying to eat the bamboo and you're trying to do the best you can in it. So now they're bringing out a second edition. This second edition actually comes with quite a lot of major rule changes for balancing and ease, I would say, of the game, ease of play. And that, a lot of those actually are placed around the improvement tiles. So starting off with rule number one. If you get an improvement tile or irrigation stick, so the improvement tiles are these little tiles that you can pick up and you put them onto onto tiles, and they can either fertilize the ground, irrigate the ground, or stop the panda from eating. Now, and the irrigation sticks were these like really long rectangled. I can't think what the 3D name is for like the long rectangle sticks, but they if you get those, you have to immediately place them. There's no storing of those commodities now, so that's very interesting. So if you pick up that, you got to know where that irrigation needs to go, and it also stops people hoarding, because there's always this, like, you look at other players and they've got like 4 or 5 improvement tiles and 4 or 5 irrigation sticks, and it's just like, come on guys, place them out. Let's know where you're going to put these. So that's interesting. Now you can't store that, you have to place. So interesting. Other thing with irrigation, with the improvement tiles, is that if you run out of the other thing with improvement tiles is if you run out of improvement tiles, So at the beginning of your turn, you roll the dice, and the dice can give you this aspect of picking up an a improvement tile. If you run out of those improvement tiles, you can take one that's already on the board and put it somewhere else. And on top of that, you're now not restricted to the tile being empty or bamboo. So beforehand, you might be trying to complete a gardener objective card, where you need to have like bamboo growing on the tile with fertilizer on it, green bamboo with fertilizer on it. Not anymore. And it's difficult to find the tile with like fertilizer on it and it green. It's also very difficult, like if there is green tiles on it beforehand, if there's bamboo growing on those tiles, you couldn't put these improvement tiles down. So then you're trying to get the panda to eat the bamboo, and then people are just growing the bamboo again. Now that doesn't happen. You can place those improvement tiles where there's already bamboo, which could actually help help you achieve your goal quicker and better, instead of like sitting there going, oh, I can't complete this tile because there's no more green empty tiles left, there's none of these improvement tiles left anymore. So not only that, now to validate the garden's objective, so like I said, you've been trying to like complete tiles, so say like I've been saying, green tile that has four shoots on it and it's got a fertilizer on it, the gardener actually needs to be on that tile for you to validate it. So it's not a case of undoing all this in one go and I can complete this, I complete that. Now you have to have the gardener there to complete it. So they've made it easy in places, but they've also said, right, so if you're going to complete this, you need to have this step in place. So that's interesting. I'm going to see how it works. The rain allows you to add bamboo to non-irrigation tiles. That's a plus side. Okay, so they're on the dice again. You had to, you could only, if it kept the rain side, means you could add a bamboo shoot to any tile that was irrigated already. Now that doesn't matter. Now if there's tiles up there without irrigation to it, you can now, and you get the rain side, you can now add a shoot to it, which is a great, great new rule. And then there's also some balancing adjustments to it. The panda objective points are decreased. Panda objective points have been decreased in size. So before it was 6 points for having a red, yellow and green shoot to eat. Now it's only 5, which it felt quite strong. But then it is actually, I think it's very hard to get the panda to walk around eating stuff. Because it's just one move and he eats one shoot. So, but anyway, and then two color plot objective cards have been slightly altered a bit. And then I've also seen, because it's already on Board Game Arena, they've added the second edition. I've been playing it already, so they've added some artwork changes. So these improvement tiles are now really clear what they mean. Like they've got a plus. They've got a picture of a shoot with a plus symbol on it. They've got basically the irrigation is a water symbol. And I don't think I've actually seen it yet. But the no eating shoots is basically like a circle with a cross in of bamboo. So, I really like the idea of this. Now, you don't need to get the second edition, really, except for the card points thing, because you could implement all these rules that you've got on here without getting the edition, which I will be trying. I'm going to can implement them without change. The only difficulty is going to be is changing the card format, which you could alter yourself, or like I have, I've got my card sleeved. So you could just put a little bit of paper in there to remind you that these are only worth 5 points, not 6 now. So, yeah, I think there's these really positive changes to it. It'd be interesting to see if the second edition still comes with a painted panda and the gardener, and whether they are going to make changes to the Chibis expansion, which I've got as well, which will change things up. So what I've already played of it on Board Game Arena, I'm really enjoying these new rule concepts. It's adding a little bit more element to the gameplay. I think this is a bonus improvement for a great little game. Now back to the rest of it.
I can't see a lot more unless there's anything changed since then.
Okay. So getting on with the competition for the cluster game that was given away. We have reached the total. Not many comments to the videos, if any. So I will, this month, find someone, contact them, check where they live, and organise to send it to them. So look out for some way of me contacting you via YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, maybe. Fingers crossed, might be one of you that are watching this. And I will build up another competition for more viewers to gain more viewers in the next few episodes. Good luck to the Pit people. And we'll hear from the winner, hopefully, in the next episode.
So, my top five games I am playing on Board Game Arena. Now, this ain't just like games I've already played in real life. These are games I've actually discovered on Board Game Arena and absolutely love to keep playing them. Okay, so this is going to be a quick rundown. Caravan is a game from Rio Grande Games and Jode Hubba, which came out in 2019, surprisingly. I thought it was older. But placing camels around... Look, you've got five camels that you can place out on the board and pick up goods and deliver them to goods points on the boards. But you've got like four actions, and you can pick up a camel and move it, and then you can move that good along the camel train. It's not that hard to work out, but it's just trying to balance, like, what goods do you go after to deliver, because it might take longer than several goods all glue up together. I just find it fascinating. I really like playing it, but I'm not any good at it. But it is it's an oldish game that I've just discovered on there, and I quite enjoy playing. Bubbly Pop is this game, like column, like, you know, those old classic video games where you got the blocks dropping down or the bubbles dropping down or bubbles jumping up, and you're trying to connect three together. And it's basically that you got like these columns, and it's a two-player game, and you can pick two bubbles to swap around in like the center, and then you can pick two bubbles either side by side or up and down to drop down into your column area. Now, if three or more bubbles of the same color join up, they go into your scoring pile, and each color has its own ability, and it's really good fun. It's really, really thinky, trying to work out how I can get bubble colors to join up and get rid of stuff before my opponent technically overcrowds my space, because some of the powers can send bubbles to your opponent's space to fill it up and make it really difficult, or swap bubbles around. It's really quite a fun game. Really annoying as well if someone gets ahead and gets a constant flow going and ruins your area. But I could see myself, I can find this online, or find this in a shop, I'd probably pick it up as a good little two-player game. Rez Arcana, I just talked about it. It's so... Wow, it's like a new age kind of, I'll say Magic the Gathering. I mean, it's a simple, you get a few cards in your hand, and you're trying to gain enough resources to buy these locations and these monument cards to score points. And it's the first person to 12 points, like triggers the end of the game. Whoever's got the most points after that wins the game. There's a little bit attacking. Not much, but it can be countered quite easily. And it is just this kind of resource management. You're trying to balance your cards, and you turn them to exhaust them. And you have a protagonist card, and you have like a spellbook card, and then you have your own cards, which are artifacts or creatures or dragons or things like that, and you need to have resources to put these cards into play, and then you could use them for their powers, or they're just there to look nice. But it is, it's so much in it. I haven't broken it. My friend Ian, who's only played it too on Board Game Arena, says he's played 100 games of it so far, and it's only been out for like a month or so. And he, you can't beat him. He's just dominates. So I really want to play more. It's just time. I don't have the time to keep playing it. I've got one or two going on at a time, but not like, not my, my friend. So Rezocano's great at number three. Number two is a new entry, and this is because, again, this is another two-player game that I've really found that I quite like, and it's a actual Colosseum kind of game where you've got three champions, I should say, each side, and they come with their own deck of cards which smash together, and then you draw up five, and then you're trying to, and you can technically only play three of these cards because each card requires like a mana of a colour, and you've only got three colours, blue, yellow and red. So once you've tapped one colour, you can't play another card of that colour. So you've got to kind of, oh, I've got no yellows, which is fine because you do have basic actions you can take with the yellows. And once you've taken your turn, those refresh and your opponent plays. But what's great is if your opponent attacks you, you have a chance of trying to defend if you've got reflective reaction cards. So if you get attacked and you've got a reaction card you can play, it will use up that colour mana, so when it comes back round to your turn, you'll be short of a colour mana, so you'll be short of an action or two. So it's really quite cool, and it's short, it's quick. Now on also this Kickstarter of the second printing of it with more expansions, I would get this in a heartbeat. I just know I never would paint it because there's cool minis, and I would never get it to the table. So this is the place to play this game. It's really quite strategic and quite fun, and it's very quick as well. So so that's a Super Fantasy Brawl, and as I said, there's a Kickstarter for it at the minute, so you can check that out. Now my number one, and this is, I've been playing this for quite a while now, and I've been teaching it to loads and loads of people, and I've stumbled across it by accident because I like the look of the artwork, and then I like the look at, oh, it's worker placement. Oh, that's quite cool. Let's do that then. Let's have a go on this. And it's actually kind of worker placement with this outbidding maximum in some areas, that if you don't put enough workers in, or you put a few workers in, you can be booted out that area if someone puts more of those workers of the same workers in. Okay, so it's got that factor. There's a loads of little spaces you can go without being booted out, but you need to pay to go in those. But the coolest thing with this is at the beginning of each round, and on Board Game Arena you don't do this physically, but if you're playing a game physically, you would roll all your workers. I think you get about 5 to 7 workers. You roll them on the table. Now, depending what side they flip on, because there's a white side and there's a black side, archaeologist or explorer, depending which side they fall on, is that's them locked in to that colour. If they land any other way, like on their side, on their heads or on their feet, then they're undecided and you get to decide what colour they become as you place them into areas. If they land on their feet, you actually get a coin for that as well, as a bonus kind of for like skill shot in a way, but just a luck of the roll. So there is that aspect. So as I said, if you, there's like several areas where you can put one or more meeples in. When you put the meeples in there, that area gets designated as that colour. So if I put 3 blacks in one area, but another player with just whites can't come in and take over that area with that I've got my blacks in, because it's been designated as black. So let's say designated as explorers. So you can look at your opponents and see what they've got and say, oh, actually, Tom here's only got, like, a lot of white dudes. So if I put, like, two explorers, black-sided meeples, into this area, then I can't be booted out by Tom. Now, I might be able to be booted out by someone else, but I can look at it and say, ah, he's got no chance of putting any other colour in here but from white. So there's that aspect of kind of outplaying your opponent or forcing them to put more in than they really wanted in the first place. So it's really cool. And this one I am definitely looking at picking up as a physical copy in the future. People did actually say that I've taught it to that. Did say they enjoyed it, but they worry that in real life there could be a lot of AP because there'd be a lot of decision making of trying to decide whether this, what to put in there and how much. So, and what you're doing is, your, I should actually say, when everyone's finished placing all their meeples, then we go through turn order or order of the board locations, picking up powers or picking up relics. So you're basically ransacking this ancient lost civilization for its all its relics. There's about 5 different relics you can pick up, and your set collection. And then once you've got like 3, you depending on how many you've got of each relic, and you come to sell it or ship it out, depends on how many points you get for that relic. So your set collection. So it's worker placement, set collection, and this unique gimmick of rolling meeples, which is quite cool, and it lasts for 5 rounds. So it's controlled like that. So yeah, that's I think it's pronounced Quaxel. It's down here. So yeah, really fun. One of my favourite games I'm playing on Board Game Arena. Always got a game going of it. Finish up with Kickstarters and back in to, well, no, Eternal Palace is now finished. It was done very well, so looking forward to that coming out. And then I'm only back in one now, and that's a technically a free game they're putting it as, and it's called Clash of Deck. It's a real free-to-play card game they're putting it, but you're paying $2 to have it shipped, and it's $2 to ship it anywhere. I believe this is a, like, the drug dealers outside of school offering up the kids free samples of drugs and getting them hooked on the stuff, and you coming back later on and say, oh, here's the expansions for it, because this game has already been out, and it was in French mainly. I think now they're like, let's just put a free deck out there and get the taste buds going, and then we'll release the thing. So it's a 1-2 player card game that you use the same deck, and you're basically battling between each other like tower defense kind of game, poking each other until there's no one left standing, or you destroy their tower on the other side, which looks quite fun. The stretch goals are kind of, once they reach a mark, you can vote for the name of a certain card, which is quite cool. So yeah, I mean, it's free, it's got tons and tons of backers, of course, because it's free. Technically you still have to pay, yeah, see what it's like when it comes through the door. And by the time this actually releases on YouTube, you're going to have about 48 hours to back this. So if you see this pop up, I would hurry on over if you want to jump in on this Kickstarter. So as I start editing this podcast / video, new Kickstarters have come up and around, and so I want to highlight a couple more that have turned up on my doorstep that you should be aware of. Hypocrisies, not Hippocrats, which I said previously in another video. Hypocrisies is a ancient Greek medicine type of game. You are doctors running a group of doctors trying to cure people of ancient Mediterranean times. And it's kind of a worker placement, dice placement game. You're trying to gather resources and knowledge together to help cure these people that are turning up to the steps of your temple. And you can either cure the people that are in front, or you can risk damaging your reputation by curing people further back in the queue. Game Brewer is the publisher, and they have actually released this on Kickstarter, and it's coming without kicks, without stretch goals. But what I mean is that they are released a deluxe version on it. You get lots of extra goodies already, so you're getting larger boards, larger mats. You're getting these cool components that are coming with it already, but there is no extra stretch goals. It's basically just there for funding. So you could also more or less say this is a pre-order system, what they're using. I don't know if they're kind of damaging their reputation in, or even some more kind of excitement to the game, because I can tell you that I've more or less forgotten about this up until I started talking about now, because you're not getting any updates of look how well we're doing, look at what we've unlocked, and look at these components that we're going to bring to the game if we reach this funding level. That's what Kickstarter does, and I don't understand why people still don't use that element of Kickstarter, of trying to get excitement and enthusiasm behind their project. So it's doing okay, it's funded, and it's doing not gangbusters, but it's going away, and it does look like a very cool game. I just don't know whether I'll back this or continue backing it. Another Kickstarter that has just arrived on my doorstep is this basically deluxe component set. The main focus on these components is for Ticket to Ride, and they are basically plastic trains that go into many train games that you might own. I think the primary focus is Ticket to Ride, because they put these plastic trains into like the old tobacco tin type kind of cassette holders, and these tins actually fit into the plastic pockets inside your Ticket to Ride box, which is a very cool concept. It's basically, the price puts me off. They're around about £70 to pick up these deluxe set. But I mean, I've already got a deluxe set of the 10th anniversary, so I don't know if I need to add this or need to spend this amount of money on just basically deluxe components for a game. They are very cool. The design is very like 1960s, maybe 1950s look to it. Very old fashioned, but I don't think I need this. But if you're interested, check out the Kickstarter. There is other Kickstarters going on, but just none of them really piquing my interest. And I'm saving up for Marvel United X-Men. And there's another one that's coming out in the future that I'm really interested in getting. So yeah, as I just said, I'm waiting for Marvel United X-Men to release, which is going to release, actually, as I'm doing this, tomorrow. So Tuesday, 14th. So I'm really looking forward to it. That's going to be expensive. And then also Canvas expansion. I've got my copy of Canvas now, and this expansion is going to add a few more details to it, including reversible playing cards. So I do look out for that. They're both coming out on both Tuesday, the 14th. So it's going to be an expensive month for me. Oh dear. Okay, back to what I was trying to talk about. Fjords, a Grail game from Grail Games, is out on Kickstarter. Never heard of it before, but apparently people have been begging for this game to be re-released, but I've never personally been interested, so hey ho, I'll see what happens. So that's it, that's my monthly gaming review. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to the channel, it helps me. Please like the video, leave a comment below. Tell me what you don't like about these videos. Tell me what you do like about these videos. I mean, it all helps. I build up a nice little kind of reputation of like what's going on. But yeah, please subscribe to the channel. It's all helpful. And more subscribers you get, maybe there might be some more games being sent out. So thank you for watching. I hope you have a really good Easter holiday. I hope you have a good April. And I hope very soon that this lockdown is over shortly. So good night, and I'll see you next time for more vlogging news. Goodbye.